Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the farm bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
From the Langrat University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for December 15th, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, Turkey has rejected at least three shipments of U.S. DDGs, saying it will enforce stricter laws on the import of GMOs. We'll have that in other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason looks at demand for the record 2014 corn crop and the rate it's being used. And the folk from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago will be by with the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's see how futures settled on this Monday afternoon. Hard red winter March wheat settled at 647 up 12 and 3 quarters. May 649 and a half up 12 and a half. Soft March wheat settled at 619 up 12 and a half. May 621 and a quarter up 12 and a half. March corn settled at 408 and a half up 1. May 416 and a half up 3 quarters. July 422 and a half up 1. Go out to December 432 and 3 quarters up 1. January soybeans settled at 1039 and a half down 7 and 3 quarters. March 1046 down 7 and 3 quarters. May 1051 down 8 and a half. July 1056 down 8 and 1 half. January soybean meal settled at 365.40, down 160. March 353.90, down 240. January soybean oil settled at 32.27, down 9. March 32.46, down 11. Some last trades. December live cattle, 161.40, down 65. January feeders, 222.60. They are limit down $3. And February lean hogs are 83.12 and a half. They're down 12 and a half. And those are today's settlements from the Chicago Board of Trade.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says today's forecast has not changed much from that of late last week. Showers and thunderstorms will occur frequently in center west and center south Brazil through the next 10 days to 2 weeks, while a more erratic rainfall pattern occurs in parts of the far south and northeast. The driest conditions may lead to some decrease in soil moisture in the far south. The driest areas will be scattered from southeastern Paraguay into parts of Mato Grosso do Sul, Sao Paulo, and Paraná. These drier biased areas will not be totally dry, but the amount of rain that falls periodically may be a little light, leading to net drying conditions. There is some potential for high pressure to build into northeastern Brazil for a while next week, and if that evolves, there would be a higher potential for timely rainfall in much of the far south of Brazil and Paraguay. Today's forecast continues to downplay rain in southern Argentina during the coming week and perhaps for a big part of next week as well. Totally dry weather is not expected, but the showers that do occur will not produce enough rain to counter evaporation. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Can't help but notice wheat leading the way to the upside today.
It's been the short leg of the spreads. You know, they've been buying beans, selling wheat. For the last couple months, we saw a little unwinding in that spread activity. Then, too, wheat fundamentals turned a little bit more positive versus the soybean fundamentals. Particularly the Black Sea wheat getting a little boost in the arm in through here. Of course, they'll need that because of the cash flow crunch they're in. They're going to be down just a few exports out of that region, so that news is probably going to start to wane somewhat. But the key is this July wheat. See if we can push on up into this above 625. If we can get above 625, then we open the door, take a run on up to 6.5, for say. So funds like the wheat here. I imagine they'll probably stick with that here throughout the week.
Why is soybeans on the short end of that one unwinding?
Short end of the stick, short end of the spread. Basically, favorable weather in the southern hemisphere. Ideas were as something turns here fairly quickly, the southern hemisphere is going to be in a position to come through with a decent crop. Secondly, the crush, just a little over 161 million bushels. Ideas were that we could be up to 165, 168, some had caught up to 170, just due to the huge meal demand that we saw here this fall and the urgency to get meal to where it needed to be. Thought that number would be a little higher. Then also, lastly, no great trade secret, bean sales and shipments start to slow from here on out. Logistics-wise, Asia's fairly well booked up to get through the winter and through here with U.S. beans, and now the focus is on the southern hemisphere. It's a situation where that's pretty much like clockwork. It's just a 24/7 operation, and there's where the most of the focus is going to be. The wild card is the Chinese delegation running around here in the U.S., what type of announcement they might come up with, but that's going to be new crop demand, more of a longer-term picture whenever an announcement does come out.
You look at 650 wheat, the unwinding of the spread, they happen just on the unwinding, or there's something else going to have to happen?
For wheat to hang in there tough, we're going to have to see confirmation of less wheat acres in general. Maybe it's staying too warm in through here, and the wheat's going to be subject to some weather here down the road. It's going to take some outside factors. But you got to remember, these big commodity funds, institutional traders, they're somewhat covered. Very rarely do you find one that's just an outright risk taker, for say, if they're long beans or short wheat or vice versa, or if they're along the board, they have a put, to cover it. And oftentimes you see these positioning and so forth, moves take place every once in a while. And I think they're eyeing year in, a little change in the fundamentals. But in order for the wheat to remain strong, we're going to have to see some world event or the U.S. actually capture some of this world business that the Black Sea and the French are enjoying right now.
Does the collapse of the soy meal spread that, month to month that we saw just last week indicate to you that going forward, Jan, Feb, March, that we're going to see the crush significantly under where we were now? And I think it was at 161 from the NOPA.
Well, I think it's going to be significantly under that. I think it's going to remain somewhat strong as we move forward here. Part of that collapse was the dease expiration, if you're referring to the dease up front there.
Right.
There's a lot of air there. You start getting the last few days of trade, you're starting to see large commercial interest in there, and then plus two, you know, last minute exiting. But overall, we're still feeding livestock. We're still seeing heavier weights. We actually going to see more numbers here to feed as we turn the calendar into 2015. So the crush is going to remain in there, probably not as aggressive as what we saw this fall, though.
All right, turn our attention to corn. What's going on in that market?
Just, you know, more of what we heard last week. MIR 162, no real confirmation. Some of these guys that have the Chinese connection say they're getting two stories out of Asia. So, you know, it's going to come. I don't think it's really a big surprise. The idea was we'd see some activity to Asia in February, March, later on the spring versus here this fall or early winter. You know, we'll see how the news comes on out. But, you know, just a lack of producer selling in some areas, aggressive farmer selling in other areas, has really created some ups and downs and some bases throughout the country. So when you look at where we were last October and improvement in basis, we've had a windfall move here to the upside. And we're at levels now after Friday's and today's price action, we could be vulnerable to sort of correct here for a little while.
And that's a more or less a timing thing?
Well, we like moving cash grain mid-December, time-wise, yes. That's part of our marketing plan is to make catch-up sales here mid-December, because once a guy, you know, gets done with harvest and has time to look at it, most sales are geared towards after the first year, and we feel there's going to be a little bit more movement that first year. This is a great opportunity. Time count guys, we've been looking at the 15th, 16th. That's today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a topping action. I don't know if it's necessarily going to mean the high for the next 12 months, but it suggests that the market might be a little vulnerable to the backing and filling.
Is there the potential for buy stops right above the market with an idea that somebody, you know, some technicians are looking at 4.25 March?
Well, I don't know if there's any buy stops left. We've pretty well of, you know, marched higher in through here. You know, the buy stops really activated there on Friday once we moved above the November 13th high there at 401.25.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's probably going to start to be some sell stops underneath the market. When you look at the momentum indicators, we're getting up to some levels that suggest that we could back and fill here for a little bit. So as we've moved higher in here, the risk becomes back to the downside now.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
All right, take care, Dave.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. In agricultural news, Turkey has rejected several shipments of U.S. DDGs because of changes in the country's laws restricting certain strains of GMO corn. The U.S. Grains Council posted a news release on its website announcing that Turkey will no longer accept imports of U.S. corn co-products due to stricter enforcement of laws restricting certain varieties of GMO corn. As of today, three shipments of DDGs have been rejected. The council said it is working with contacts in Turkey and the U.S. Embassy to find solutions and reopen the markets. Eggs are about to become more expensive in California as the state's producers are required under a new animal welfare law to expand the amount of space that laying hens must have. Producers who want to sell to California also will be required to move to the new production standards. The 25th session of the U.S.-China Joint Commission on Commerce and Trade is scheduled this week in Chicago with Commerce Secretary Penny Pritzker and U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman serving as hosts to a high-level Government of China delegation. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack is also scheduled to address key agricultural trade issues between the two countries. The get-together is expected to report incremental progress on perennial issues such as Chinese intellectual property rights enforcement, agriculture, pharmaceuticals, information technology, and travel and tourism issues. One possible area where some news might be made is in the area of climate change. Ukraine is struggling to honor corn contracts signed with China in October and may default on about 20% of the volumes because of a shortage caused in part by the political turmoil engulfing the country. Private feed mills in China, the world's second largest consumer, signed contracts in October to buy 19 cargoes, the equivalent of about 1.1 million tons. The CEO of Bob Evans Farms is stepping down after more than 8 years in the post by mutual agreement with the company as a restaurant operator works on improving its performance. Bob Evans today says it has created an interim office of the CEO while it looks for a permanent replacement as CEO. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Now that the nation's corn harvest is complete, traders have turned their full attention to the rate at which the crop is being used. Todd Gleason has more on the pace of corn consumption.
There are three primary uses for corn. These are corn for livestock feed, corn for the production of ethanol, and corn for export, in that order. That makes the smallest consumption category, corn for export, the marginal category. This is the flex category, the one that drives the price of corn on the high or low end of the market. Here's what that means. The highest and lowest prices paid for corn depend a lot on how much corn the export market consumes, because it's usually vying for the last available bushels. Well, tracking how much corn is being consumed, therefore, is important to understanding the direction of the market. Some of the numbers are easier to track than others. Getting a handle on corn for livestock feed is difficult. Finding the ethanol number, much easier. So far this marketing year, corn consumed for ethanol production is ahead of pace to meet USDA's projection made in November. University of Illinois ag economist Earl Good says the pace could slow down by 1% and still remain on target.
The USDA projects 2014 marketing year corn exports to be about 9% less than exported last year. Current export inspections exceed those of a year ago by 11%. Last year, however, inspections were relatively small early in the year and then quite large in the last half of the marketing year. To date, export inspections have averaged just over 28 million bushels per week, so that exports now need to average nearly 35 million bushels per week to reach the USDA projection.
The current pace for corn export sales, thanks to Darrell Good, is encouraging. However, he notes sales and shipments aren't the same thing, and says shipments need to accelerate to meet USDA's export projections. This leaves the corn for feed number. It can only be tracked using the quarterly grain stocks tally. USDA surveys all the places that store corn to figure out what's left in the bin. Subtracting that number, the export figure, and ethanol consumption leaves a quantity that has gone somewhere, mostly to feed livestock. The first marketing year report of corn stocks will be released January 12th.
Until then, the likely pace of feed use of corn is derived mainly from estimates of livestock slaughter and livestock and poultry inventories. Weekly broiler chick placements continue to run about 2.5% above placements of a year earlier, and the average number of layers on hand in September and October was 2% larger than the inventory of last year. The number of dairy cows is up about 1%.
Add to those figures the number of beef cattle in feedlots as of November 1. That's up about 0.5%, and those cattle are being fed to heavier weights. Those additional pounds, by the way, take more corn per pound to produce. Hogs are being fed to heavier weights, too, up about 3%. The number so far suggests a smaller herd. That's expected to change. So right now, Daryl Good says it all means the 25-cent trading range for corn is not likely to change until USDA updates the crop production report January 12th, along with releasing the first quarterly stocks report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the cash grain market is Amy Sage of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Amy.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I guess job one for the Andersons, I saw a picture in the newspaper a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, about the huge pile on the ground, over 3 million bushels altogether. How's that going?
It's going well, actually. Railroad has been performing on sales that we had made, and we are in the process of getting it all picked up. The front parking lot has been picked up for about a week now, and working on the back lot, have about 2 million left to go.
And all that grain is going down to poultry primarily?
Some of it is, but some of it is going to the Gulf.
Oh, you're sending some to the Gulf as well.
Mm-hmm.
Producers, they're watching the futures market. Did they make some sales in the last few days on this pop in the corn market?
We've seen some, not an overwhelming amount, but we have seen a little bit of farmer selling. I think some of that is rewarding this rally, and a lot of people wanted to pull the trigger if we got back above $4 in the nearby, which we have seen that on the board. And new crop as well, you could sell above $4 cash for new crop, so we're seeing some people taking advantage of that, maybe a little bit of cash flow needs, but not much. But buying a little, not an overwhelming amount.
Do you have a feel for, in Champaign County, how much grain might still be in farmers' hands?
Really, we haven't gone through and analyzed that, but I would say there's still a pretty significant chunk just because of the yields that we had in this area. People had more than what they anticipated to sell. I would say close to half.
Okay, 50%. Then do you anticipate that after the first of the year, there may be some sort of basis play in the marketplace as end users need grain?
We might see that. We've actually seen strength through the month of December here. I guess the only limiting factor that could be in January, February, is we typically in this area do see a lot of farmer movement over the winter months. So that might keep a lid on it. But like you say, processors are going to be wanting to replenish here, and elevators will want to fill back up from their sales. So I think we could see some support, but it might be limited by farmer movement.
Let's have a comment about soybeans.
Sure. Bean processors as well have been strong from a basis perspective, and we think that that'll remain through the rest of the month. Bean prices, we were lower today, but have held strong thus far. We are a little more concerned about new crop bean prices going forward, just with the amount of bean acres that we're hearing out in the countryside.
All right, then why don't we get your prices today then, please?
Sure. December and January corn both at 389, new crop 408 across the scale, and January 16, 416. December and January soybeans 1029. We've got new crop of 15,986 across the scale, and January 16, 992. Cash wheat at 604, new crop July 595.
Thank you much, Amy.
Thank you.
That's Amy Sage of the Andersons, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at agricultural weather. It is National Lemon Cupcake Day. The exact origin of the lemon remains a mystery, although it is presumed lemons first grew in China, northern Burma, and India. Lemons were introduced to the Americas by Christopher Columbus in 1493. On this day in agricultural history in 1686, Isaac Walton died. He is mainly known for The Contemplative Man's Recreation, which is one of the most frequently published books in English literature. It is a literary discourse on the pleasures of fishing.
In 1791, the new United States of America ratified the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, confirming the fundamental rights of its citizens. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, speech, and the press, and the right to peaceful assembly and petition. In 1939, nylon yarn was sold to hosiery mills to make women's stockings, marking the first use of commercial yarn for apparel. The DuPont product enabled a record number of ladies' hose to go on sale for the very first time in May of 1940. And in 1995, the leaders of the European Union were gathered in Madrid to discuss the shape of a single European currency. They decided to name it the euro. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
I want to start down under in South America and ask you whether some of the driest areas around Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul, those kind of places, are going to see any precipitation soon.
Yes, Dave, we feel that they have great opportunities to receive rainfall in what's few and far between isolated dry pockets in areas of Brazil. It's kind of a, this time of year, you know, there's always some pocket or two that hasn't received as much rainfall as other areas. And even with, and from a macro standpoint, overall the pattern is quite favorable here for rain development. So even those dry pockets will have numerous opportunities coming up. And that's not only across Brazil, but down into, well, far southern Brazil, and then also Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina. Overall, the pattern across South America, looking ahead, just features a lack of any kind of ridging of high pressure over interior South America. So as long as that pattern continues, there will continue to be rain producing frontal systems crossing the region, and that will also mean a lack of heat across the region as well.
Do the models show that there is any potential for some high pressure ridges in northeastern Brazil anytime soon?
No, not at the present time here, Dave. And, you know, in some years, we can see the development and establishment of a strong ridge of high pressure across interior South America, and that is certainly not the case this year. We haven't seen that occurred really at all here. You did have that dryness back in October, which was associated with a ridge, but really since then, over the past 6 weeks, there's been nothing. And so looking ahead here, we do not anticipate that coming up over the next couple of weeks, and even for that matter, into the early part of January. Now, later in January, after the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have to just, you know, keep an eye and make sure that these trends here continue as we go through the, your more kind of critical yield-sensitive time frames. But really, until further notice, there's just simply no indication of any issues here developing.
All right, turn your attention to the Corn Belt, where, at least in my neighborhood, it's been quite warm, for a lack of a better term.
Yeah, and that will continue at least over the next four or five days or so. Along with that will be some storminess as well. We do see indications of a colder pattern returning kind of in the day 11 to 15 time frame here as we approach and go through the Christmas holiday and shortly thereafter. And so overall, with this pattern, we expect a gradual cooling down of temperatures, and actually by months then getting into a period of a colder than normal weather here across not only Corn Belt, but across much of the central U.S.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo, and he is with Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free Aggie newsletter. You can do that at willag.org.
use the link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.